Good afternoon, everyone. This man will stop the world, and he'll melt with you. A Cincinnati Reds fan is being outed as a man who, quote, consumes over 20 gallons of liquid cheese in a year. We'll explain all that. In the headlines on the update this Friday, Senator Bob Menendez says that he's not going to run in the Democratic primary as he faces federal corruption charges. But he's leaving open the possibility that he would re-enter the race as an independent later this year if he's exonerated at trial. We'll have the latest details. In the state of New York, cheating on your spouse is illegal, but the state might soon change that. A bill is working its way through the legislature that could repeal a more than century-old law that makes adultery a crime. After months of speculation, the Mets finally seem to have their bat at DH. J.D. Martinez has a new home, agreeing to a one-year, $12 million contract with the New York Mets. And in Washington, the Justice Department announced a sweeping antitrust lawsuit against Apple, accusing the tech giant of engineering an illegal monopoly in smartphones that boxes out competitors, stifles innovation, and keeps prices artificially high. This is the update. Friday, March the 22nd, 2024. Every city has a story. And in New York City, there just happens to be a lot of them. From the Tommy Lynn stage, this is the update with Brandon Julian. A three-time winner of the Kingsborough Community College Gold Student Service Award. It's everything that you need to know, because anything can happen in New York. Greetings and salutations to you all, folks, every last one of you. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the update on a Friday. TGIF to all of you out there. Yes, we've made it to yet another weekend around here, but it's also yet another weekend where the first part of it at least is going to be raining, and quite a lot of rain at that. 2 to 3 inches expected on tomorrow for your Saturday, definitely a day to make those indoor plans, probably clear out the DVR or whatever you feel like doing. Today, we should say, is like the calm before the storm. The sun's going to be out, and then the clouds are going to roll in, and then there's going to be a breeze that'll come out that will definitely make it feel colder than it actually is. But the good news, well, not exactly good, but there are more chances for rain next week that might affect the Mets home opener on Thursday. Because that's just what we need. It's just been the spring so far of rain. You know, many people are supposed to say, like, April showers, they bring May flowers. But we're getting the showers in March instead. What can you do? I'm Brandon Julian, of course, folks. We appreciate you so much for being here, wherever you may be, and however, of course, personally, that you may be listening to us. Lots of news, of course, to catch you up on. We're going to begin this Friday's proceedings across the river in the Garden State, over in Trenton, in New Jersey, where Senator Bob Menendez, who's going to be going on trial soon, says that he's not going to run in the Democratic primary as he faces those federal corruption charges. But he is leaving open the possibility that he would re-enter the race as an independent later on this year if he is exonerated at trial. Menendez made the announcement in a video that was released yesterday afternoon. The decision comes as Menendez fights federal bribery charges, along with his wife Nadine and three business associates. Menendez and his spouse are charged with taking bribes of gold bars, cash, and a Mercedes-Benz in return for the senators' help with projects pursued by three New Jersey businessmen. Now, on to some of the other news of this Friday. And back here in the city limits, the former president's lawyers are continuing to press an appellate court to excuse him from covering that $454 million civil fraud judgment while he appeals it. Trump lawyer Clifford Roberts said in a letter to the court yesterday that the requirement is, quote, patently unjust, unreasonable, and unconstitutional. It's the latest in a flurry of down-to-the-wire arguments and counter-arguments that state lawyers and attorneys for the presumptive Republican presidential nominee are making as a deadline looms on Monday. That's when Attorney General James can start taking steps to collect the massive sum, unless the appeals court intervenes by then. Meanwhile, New York prosecutors, they've urged the judge to start the former president's hush money criminal trial on April 15th, saying the defense requests for further delays or dismissal of the case because of a last-minute evidence dump are, quote, a red herring. Prosecutors said yesterday that the majority of the evidence the ex-president's lawyers received recently was, quote, entirely immaterial, duplicative, or substantially duplicative. Duplicative. That's a hard word to say, actually. But anyway, it was duplicative or substantially duplicative of the evidence that had already been given. Judge Juan Merchan last week postponed the trial's start from this upcoming Monday until mid-April after former president's lawyers complained that the late arrival of the evidence from a previous federal investigation was hindering their preparations. The judge will hold a hearing to address the evidence issue. Many Jewish faith leaders and commentators, they are now decrying what they say are inflammatory remarks by the former president. That follows his accusation that Jews who vote for Democrats hate their religion and also Israel. A cascade of Jewish voices denounced that statement. They say that it plays on the anti-Semitic stereotypes that claim that U.S. Jews' loyalty is divided and there's only one right way for Jews to be religious. But some Jewish voices, they dismiss the criticism and supported his claim to be more supportive of Israel than his Democratic opponent, Joe Biden. To the state capitol in Albany we go now, where apparently, and not a lot of people knew this, I didn't actually know this either until I found the story, that cheating on your spouse is illegal in the state of New York. But the state might soon change that. A bill is working its way through the legislature that could repeal a more than century-old law that makes adultery a crime. The obscure law is actually on the books in many other states, though it is almost never actually enforced. Bill sponsor, Assemblyman Charles Levine, says only about a dozen people have been charged under the state's adultery law since 1972, and of those, just five of those have netted convictions. Adultery currently is a misdemeanor in this state, punishable by up to 90 days in jail. Out east we go now, over to Westport in Connecticut. where a mishap involving sculling boats sent 18 teenagers and one adult coach into the cold river, the cold waters, I should say, off the Long Island Sound. However, no serious injuries, they were reported. The boats from the private Saugatuck Rowing Club capsized off of Westport on Wednesday afternoon. Police say that some people swam to the shore and others were rescued by first responders in boats. The two people were brought to a hospital with suspected hypothermia. Police say that two sculling boats capsized during a fast change in the weather, and people from those boats sank a third vessel when they tried to get in it. Authorities say they are investigating the goal of preventing similar incidents. Shake Shack, they named a new CEO yesterday, the first outsider to lead the company in their nearly 20-year history. Rob Lynch, the current president and CEO of Papa John's, will join Shake Shack's board and become the CEO on May 20th. Lynch succeeds Randy Gartui, who started what would become Shake Shack from a hot dog cart here in New York back in 2001. Shake Shack chairman and founder Danny Meyer said yesterday that Lynch is an ideal candidate to lead Shake Shack as they embark on a period of global growth. Shake Shack ended last year with 518 restaurants worldwide. Papa John's has 5,900. Meanwhile, the Broadway musical Aladdin, they're celebrating its 10th anniversary this year, and the genies who have led it on tour and on Broadway are looking back. James Monroe Iglehart, who won a Tony Award in the role, says, quote, "It made me the actor I am today." Marcus Martin, who was the genie on a North American tour, says, quote, "This is a very special way to start my career." And the current genie on Broadway, Michael James Scott, says he thinks he knows why the role is so enduring. Quote, "The genie is love, light, laughter, and people want to have that right now." In other news, a famed battleship is now floating down the Delaware River as the USS New Jersey left its dock in Camden on the way to the Philadelphia Navy Yard for some extensive maintenance work. The vessel, guided by tugboats, moved out yesterday and will first head to the Paulsboro Marine Terminal, where it will be balanced to prepare for dry docking. It will then go to the Navy Yard in 6 days. The maintenance work is expected to take about 2 months to complete. The ship's website says it's the most decorated battleship in Navy history. It's been a floating museum since 2011. And finally, some really exciting medical news. As doctors in Boston, they say that they have transplanted a pig kidney into a 62-year-old patient. Massachusetts General Hospital said yesterday it's the first time a genetically modified pig kidney has been transplanted into a living person. Previously, pig kidneys have been temporarily transplanted into brain-dead donors. Also, two men received heart transplants from pigs, although both of them died within months. The hospital announced the transplant yesterday and said that the Massachusetts man is actually recovering well. Doctors say that they expect the kidney to work for at least 2 years, and the patient could go back on dialysis if it fails. Time for us to step aside momentarily. When we return on the update this Friday, we have a few important messages to tell you from the MTA. Gonna talk some sports, and as the start of the regular season comes near, the Mets finally seem to have their bat a designated hitter, as J.D. Martinez has signed a 1-year contract with the Metropolitans. We're going to talk together the latest national news. In Washington, the Justice Department, they announced a sweeping antitrust lawsuit against Apple, accusing the tech giant of engineering an illegal monopoly in smartphones that boxes out competitors, stifles innovation, and keeps prices artificially high. And at the end of the broadcast today, this man will stop the world and he'll melt with you. A Cincinnati Reds fan is being outed as a man who, quote, consumes over 20 gallons of liquid cheese in a year. I think you're very interested to know what that actually means. So on this Friday, as we prepare for the rain to wash out yet another Saturday, remember that span not too long ago where it seemed like it rained for how many weekends in a row? Good times with that. So on this Friday, we're going to talk about this and a lot more too, of course, as we get you set up for the weekend when the update Brandon Julian returns in just a moment. Brandon Julian. Honestly, people, I would do anything for my wife, Tommy, but I know I'm not the best romantic person out there. There are more people that are more romantic than I am. Did you know, folks, that a long, long time ago, Prince Edward abdicated his right to the English throne to the woman he loved? Isn't that unbelievable? He had to choose between the woman he loved or being King of England. And that idiot chose the girl. Now, I'm sure, folks, that it was the right moment at that exact moment in time, and I'm happily in a relationship with my wife. But even in the best of moments, each person in a relationship has had a time where they thought, I've made an enormous mistake. But you know what, folks? I bet you never thought I could have been King of England. This is the update with Brandon Julian, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My Grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my Grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough, but if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time to talk, a message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Brandon Julian, I've been the host of this show now for 7 years. That's right, 7 years. Now, if you had a job for 7 years, or if you were in a relationship or married to someone like I am with my wife for 7 years, you would think at this point you would know that person inside and out, backwards and forwards, wouldn't you? No, but no, not my wife. She's full of surprises. I can honestly sit here in this desk at this studio and say that after nearly 7 years of being with my wife, I know no more about her than the day that I got into a relationship with her. She's full of surprises. She's like Swiper. He's very sneaky like that. This is the update with Brandon Julian, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Q. keeping an eye on the roads, the rails, and the skies. It's time for Traffic and Weather Together.
Through the first half of 2024, F trains will run on the E line at all times in both directions. Between Rockefeller Center and Jackson Heights Roosevelt Avenue, because of track replacement along the 63rd Street line. On weekdays, M trains will not run between Rockefeller Center and Forest Hill 71st Avenue. Trains will run between 57th Street on the F line and Metropolitan Avenue. A special F shuttle train will run every 20 minutes between Lexington Avenue, 63rd Street, and 21st Street, Queensbridge, stopping at Roosevelt Island. The shuttle train will not run overnight. Free shuttle buses will run between 21st Street, Queensbridge, and Queens Plaza on days and evenings, and between Roosevelt Island, 21st Street, Queensbridge, and Queens Plaza overnight. Through early 2024, Manhattan-bound 7 trains are skipping 111th Street and 82nd Street, Jackson Heights, because of station improvements. For nearby service, use a Flushing-bound 7 train or use the Q32 or Q48 buses on days and evenings along Roosevelt Avenue. Through the summer of 2024, Manhattan-bound J and Z trains are skipping 75th Street, Eldridge Lane, and Woodhaven Boulevard because of station improvements. For nearby service, use the Q56 bus making stops along Jamaica Avenue. The New York City Police Department would like to remind you to keep your belongings in sight and to stay aware of your surroundings. If you see something suspicious in the station or on the train, tell a police officer or an MTA employee. MTA crews are here to help us get around. Let's treat them with respect. Assaulting a New York City Transit employee is a felony, punishable by up to 7 years in prison. The fare on local, limited, and select bus service is $2.90, with the exception of the BX18A, BX18B, B60, M116, Q4, Q4 Limited, S46, and S96 Limited, until March 30th. Transfers on all other lines must be requested upon payment of the cash fare. For the S79 Select Bus Service, pay your fare on board the bus. For all other Select Bus Service routes, pay at the kiosk outside and hold your ticket for the duration of your trip. The fare on express buses is $7. Coins are not accepted as a payment on express buses.
Now, with the latest scores and highlights, it's time for the sports update.
So, the start of the regular season, folks, it is 6 days away. Yes, every time we get to this time of the year, I get excited for the regular season to start because I like spring training, but I'm ready for everything, you know, to officially start, you know, counting for real. And the Mets so far have been through most of spring training without Kodai Senga, who's supposed to be the leader in this rotation for this year. But, you know, he went down with inflammation in his shoulder. Well, they got some good news the other day, as Kodai Senga. He's expected to begin throwing within a week after the test revealed that the inflammation in his right shoulder is cleared up. Mets manager Carlos Mendoza said that the MRI on Senga's shoulder was, quote, very, very encouraging. Like I said, he was shut down last month after he reported discomfort in the shoulder. Mendoza says that Senga may begin throwing within the next week if he shows that he's regained strength in the shoulder. He will, though, open the season on the injured list. The medical clearance allows provides an opportunity to return to the rotation in May. All spring training long, also, people have been clamoring for the Mets to go get a veteran bat as designated hitter instead of some of the other options, like Mark Vientos, to be the DH for this year. Well, it seems like they finally have their bat, as J.D. Martinez has a new home, agreeing to a one-year, $12 million contract with the Mets. Person who's familiar with the deal confirmed the move to the AP on the condition of anonymity because the agreement was pending a physical. The people of the New York Post, they were the first to report the move. Martinez hit 271 with 33 homers and 103 RBIs in just 113 games last season for the Dodgers. The 36-year-old slugger was one of the top free agents that was left on the market. Now, from the diamond, let's go out to the hardwood. Knicks finishing up that West Coast swing in Denver against the Nuggets. Michael Porter Jr. had a sensational shooting night on his way to 31 points. Nikola Jokic had notched his 22nd triple-double of the year, and the Nuggets held off the Knicks 113-100. Jokic finished with 30 points, 14 boards, and 11 assists as the defending champion Nuggets improved to 13-2 since the All-Star break. Porter was 13 of 16 from the field and 2 for 2 from the free throw line. Porter also had 3 three-pointers to give him 193 for the year and also break the single-season team mark that Dale Ellis set back in 1996. Jalen Brunson scored 26, and Isaiah Hartenstein had 20 for the Knicks. Out in Milwaukee, Nets and the Bucks going at it. Nets, as I've mentioned many times before, have just not had a good stretch so far, ever since they fired Jacque Vaughn back in February. Damian Lillard had 30 points and 12 assists and also made 2 late steals as they capitalized on Giannis Antetokounmpo's return to beat the Nets 115-108. Antetokounmpo had 21 points, 9 boards, and 5 assists after missing 2 games because of an issue with his left hamstring. The Bucks rested Chris Middleton a night after he played 33 minutes in their 122-119 loss in Boston, as they continue to manage his workload in his recovery from a sprained left ankle. Mikal Bridges scored 24, Nick Claxton at 22, and Cam Thomas 21 for the Nets. They made a big second-half comeback, but they still lost their 5th in a row. From the hardwood, let's go to the ice. Over at the Rock in Newark, Devils and the Jets going at it. Jack Hughes scored 2 of the Devils' 3 power play goals. His brother Luke's had a career-best 3 assists. And Jersey stunned the Red Hot Jets 4-1 in one of their best performances in what has been a very disappointing season. Nico Hershier scored the go-ahead goal on the power play and added 2 assists. Timo Meier had an empty netter and 2 assists as well. And Jake Allen made 18 saves and winning for the 3rd time and 4 starts for Jersey. Nikolaj Ehlers scored a spectacular goal for the Jets while Laurent Brossette made 37 saves. In Detroit, the struggling Islanders and the Red Wings play. Dylan Larkin had 2 goals after an 8-game absence. Andrew Kopp also scored twice to break a 20-game drought, and the Red Wings beat the Isles 6-3. Larkin returned from a lower body injury to score his team-high 27th and 28th goals to help the Red Wings avenge a 5-3 home loss to the Islanders at the end of February. Christian Fisher had a goal and 2 assists. Patrick Kane also scored, and Michael Rasmussen and Alex DeBrincat added 2 assists apiece. James Reimer made 33 saves in a matchup of teams battling for a wild card spot in the Eastern Conference. Mike Riley, Jean-Gabriel Pageau, and Matthew Barzal scored for New York. The Islanders, though, are 0-5-1 in their last 6. And actually, up in Boston itself, Rangers and the Bruins playing at it. Artemi Panarin, he scored 3 goals to lead the Rangers to a 5-2 win over the Bruins. Panarin's second came when Bruins forward Jake DeBrusque knocked the puck into the Boston net for the final minute of the second period. It was the 3rd win for the Rangers over the Bruins in as many tries this season. The Rangers, who are atop the Metropolitan Division, are within 1 point of the defending President's Trophy winners for the best record in the NHL. Adam Fox also scored, and Jonathan Quick stopped 24 shots for New York. Panarin and Mika Zibanejad added empty netters in the final 2 minutes. DeBrusque and Justin Brazeau scored for Boston. Jeremy Swayman, he made 26 saves. A federal appeals court has now ordered the judge who oversaw the Boston Marathon Bombers' trial to investigate the defense's claims of juror bias and actually determine whether his death sentence should stand. 3 people in a hot air balloon in Minnesota escaped largely unscathed after their basket clipped a power line, fell to the ground, and caused a brush fire. And candy treats that use rollerballs to let kids eat sweet liquid, they've been linked to choking, including at least 1 death. Gonna talk about this and more because national news, it's next for us around here, of course, when the update Brandon Julian continues. But first, ladies and gentlemen, we do have to inform you about the following. Where has the time gone? I really hope that I didn't write that line. Did I write that line? Well, maybe I actually did. We're now celebrating 7 years of this program. 7 long news-filled years. My producers, who look for any excuse to hold a celebration, are having one every weekend as we go into the update archives to play you an episode from throughout the many years of this program. And then on the weekends, also once a month, we'll play an episode from my list of personal favorites throughout the many years of this program, as I explain to you why that particular episode is one of my favorites. So every weekend, dig into the update archives with us to remember where you were when this particular episode aired. And then once a month, the list of my favorite episodes as well. Keep listening on the weekends because it'll be a party that you will never forget. Unless, of course, you can't actually remember it from, well, you know, the night before. You know, as I was growing up, my mother told me to always wipe my feet on the mat before I go into the studio. Well, Mom, this one's for you. There's a lot more show to stick around and listen to as the update with Brandon Julian. We'll be right back after these messages. Thank you. Brandon Julian. You know, Valentine's Day coming up. We surprise the ones we love with those big red hearts, you know, filled with the Gamble chocolate. Think about it. Has anybody ever eaten any chocolate of those with any confidence? You're like, oh, this is either going to be really good or horribly nasty. Guess I'm just big enough to find out. Oh, I got the one filled with toothpaste. Gonna take another 9 of those to get rid of that flavor. You know, there's a big red heart filled with the Gamble chocolate. Otherwise, there's the tiny heart-shaped antacids. I know I make you nauseous. Here's the Tums with Hug Me written on it. You know, maybe that'll help. This is the update with Brandon Julian. Available wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
From New York, home of your NCAA men's champion UConn Huskies, this is the update with Brandon Julian. Available wherever you're listening to podcasts. Welcome back to the update, Brandon Julian, on a Friday, everyone. A getaway Friday for some of us, most definitely a Fri-yay for others. Thank you so much, of course, folks, for still being here with us. You know, hopefully you make those indoor plans for tomorrow. You know, at this point, when it heavily rains like it's supposed to rain tomorrow, I personally take the effort of stocking up on some things because if it's supposed to be raining, heavily raining for about like 15 hours or something, as they say, you get yourself a lot of snacks and some food items because, you know, you're going to be in for a long Saturday. You'll try to keep yourself occupied by doing things, maybe some cleaning, maybe catching up on demand or things that you've missed during the week. It's a good opportunity to do some things, you know. But anyway, let us talk together right now, of course, some of the latest national news. And we are going to begin, of course, in Washington, where the Justice Department yesterday, they announced a sweeping antitrust lawsuit against Apple, accusing the tech giant of engineering an illegal monopoly in smartphones that boxes out competitors, stifles innovation, and keeps the prices artificially high. The lawsuit that was filed with 16 state attorneys general is just the latest example of aggressive antitrust enforcement by an administration that has also taken on Google, Amazon, and other tech giants with the stated aim of making the digital universe more fair, innovative, and also competitive. In other news, we're going to go out to the American West, where police yesterday arrested 2 white supremacist gang members, an Idaho prison inmate, and the accomplice who helped him escape, following an attack on correction officers at a Boise hospital. And investigators are looking into whether they killed 2 people while they were on the run. Skylar Mead, the escaped inmate, and Nicholas Penhor, the man who police say shot 2 Idaho corrections officers early on Wednesday to break Mead out of custody,
were arrested during a traffic stop yesterday afternoon in Twin Falls, which is about 130 miles from where they escaped. Authorities said during a news conference yesterday that they were investigating two homicides in Clearwater County and Nez Perce County, which borders Washington State. Police found shackles at the scene of one of the killings. Back east in Boston, a federal appeals court has ordered the judge who oversaw the Boston Marathon bomber Zokhar Tsarnaev's trial to investigate the defense's claims of juror bias and determine whether his death sentence should actually stand. The Boston-based First U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals did not throw out Tsarnaev's death sentence, however. Defense lawyers had pushed for that while claiming bias by two people who sat on the jury that convicted Tsarnaev for his role in the bombing that killed three people and injured hundreds near the marathon's finish line back in 2013. But the appeals court found that the trial judge did not adequately probe Tsarnaev's claims of juror bias and sent the case back to the judge for a new investigation. The U.S. Attorney's Office in Massachusetts, they declined to comment. Those candy treats that use roller balls to let kids eat a sweet liquid have now been linked to choking, including at least one death. A federal safety agency says that they should not be used. The U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission said yesterday that the candies as rolling ball can dislodge and become trapped in a child's throat. The agency has issued recall announcements for multiple products. One was Cocoa Candy Rolling Candy, which was linked to the death of a 7-year-old girl. Another was Happiness USA Rollerball Candy, which was tied to the choking and hospitalization of a 7-year-old boy. Up north in Rochester in Minnesota, three people in a hot air balloon escaped largely unscathed after their basket clipped a power line, fell to the ground, and caused a brush fire. A Minnesota Department of Transportation traffic camera captured the whole accident on video. It happened around 6:50 on Wednesday evening in Rochester. Police say that the pilot was trying to land in a field when a gust of wind pushed the balloon into a power line near a highway. The video shows the basket and balloon became disconnected as sparks flew from the power line. The basket appeared to hang on briefly on the line before falling. Meanwhile, the balloon drifted away. It was found later on. Sparks caused a brush fire also that was extinguished by firefighters. And finally, a study by environmental scientists and the European Central Bank finds that food prices and overall inflation will rise as temperatures climb with climate change. Yesterday's study looked at monthly price tags of food and other goods, temperatures, and other climate factors in 121 nations since 1996. The researchers, they calculate that weather and climate shocks will cause the cost of food to rise between 1.5 and nearly 2 percentage points annually within a decade or so, and even higher in already hot places like the Middle East. They may not sound like much, but to economists, it's actually a lot. This man, he will stop the world, and he will melt with you. A Cincinnati Reds fan is being ousted as a fan who, quote, consumes over 20 gallons of liquid cheese in a year. That might need a little bit of context, so we will, because your honorable mention is next. when the update Brain and Julian continues.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Tom and Levi.
Tom is the smartest man I know. He's been a professor at two major universities, been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, he told me that he was having problems in his classes. I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. And he was telling them that he was doing it as a favor to them, but I think in reality, he just wanted to get out of there. I was really starting to worry because I saw something was wrong.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me, and my love for him was just immense.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
It's news for New Yorkers who never stop moving. This is the update with Brandon Julian, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back to the update, Brandon Julian, on a Friday, everyone. A Friday for some of us, a getaway Friday for others. Thank you so much, of course, folks, for still being here with us as we prepare for another Saturday Soaker. Here in the big town and elsewhere. Saturday Soaker also, by the way, sounds like a toy that would probably be manufactured by Nerf for the summertime. Anyway, folks, there's just enough time left today, of course, for your honorable mention. Let's face it, a lot of people like cheese. I definitely like cheese. But you go overseas, cheese is more refined than other places. You know, Jim Gaffigan made a bunch of jokes about cheese once. Like, this is Jean. From the Jean reason. Because, you know, other places overseas you go and they'll have, like, cheese platters for you to eat. Cheese is actually, like, a main thing of the meal. So, you know, you'll have an appetizer, then you'll have an entree, then for some reason in the middle, you just eat a bunch of chunks of cheese. then you'll have dessert, then after that, you go to the hospital. This happens always like in Paris and other countries, you know, be like, this is Jean. From the Jean region. You'll be like, so not cheddar? I like me some cheddar. You know, if I ever were to go overseas, you know, with my wife, I'm pretty sure I'll eat the appetizer, I'll eat the entree, then I'll get to a cheese court, and my heart will be like, are you mad at me? Like, did I do something wrong? But anyway, the reason why we're talking about cheese is because this person will stop the world and melt with you. I forget the name of the song that line actually comes from, but I'm sure somebody will remind me. But anyway, a Cincinnati Reds fan is being outed as a man who, quote, consumes over 20 gallons of liquid cheese in a year. The new billboard in Covington, Kentucky, it shows an unidentified, bearded, bespectacled man looking forlorn as he sticks his fork into what appears to be a microwavable tub of macaroni and cheese. The billboard reads, "We cannot stop him." The billboard, just across the river from Cincinnati, is the brainchild of Northern Kentucky native Jonathan Pittman. I recently saw his pal eating mac and cheese one day and snapped a picture. Pittman told Cincinnati news station WCPO9 that the billboard will be up for 4 weeks to the tune of more than $1,200. In its special report, Who is Cheese Guy? The station said that Pittman wouldn't confirm if his cheesy chum actually eats that much mac and cheese. The station reported that Pittman simply, quote, decided it'd be funny to put his friend on display. A picture of the billboard surfaced this week on Reddit, where commenters dished on some of the best queso scenarios for this public shredding. I probably should have prefaced this segment by saying we're going to fit as many cheese puns as we can get in here. One person said, my guess is that the guy came in during his fantasy football league, and this came in last during his fantasy football league, and this is his punishment. And the billboard is going up, penned one hypothesizer. another laughed, quote, funny whoever designed the billboard is parodying Kraft, but with a few minutes of image searching, I figured out the guy is holding a Velveeta cup. Yes, I'm that bored, LOL. In case you don't know, Kraft makes Velveeta. Another person pointed out, opening day gimmick, red shirt. The Reds' home opener is in 6 days on March 28th. The possibilities, of course, they are definitely endless. Yes, I definitely. We just had to fit that last one in there. I'm sorry. I'm going to let you guys ponder on this. As we say in the words of Walter Cronkite, that's the way it is. Friday, March the 22nd, 2024. That's the update on this Friday and for this week. I'm Brandon Julian. We appreciate you being here with us. In the next edition of My Favorite Episodes, we're going to go back to 2018 in year number two and go back to a pivotal moment in the Donald Trump presidency when he took the U.S. out of the Iran nuclear deal. You'll find out more about it in April, and we'll give you the exact date, of course, when we cross over into April. So until you rush off to the supermarket and get everything ready for a Saturday soaker, and then gusty winds behind that on your Sunday, I thought it was supposed to be spring groundhog, not winter. But until then, in the words, of course, of Roger Grimsby and Bill Butel, hopefully that your news, folks, it will be good news. I thank you very much for joining me. Good luck, be safe, and most importantly, folks, please be well. And honey, since we're going to be stuck inside this weekend, let's order in some Domino's. I took the charge card with me before I left, so let me read this out to you, dear. 007. Oh, you know what I found? This is actually my James Bond reward membership card. You know, I'm going to get cheese bread and a sandwich. Shaken, not stirred. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for spending some of your time with us. I hope you have a safe weekend. And, you know, you spend it inside doing whatever you want to do. Next week features rain a couple of days, and it's only a 4-day week next week. Yeah, we're off for Easter weekend. First time I think that has ever happened. I don't know. But anyway, have a good weekend, and I will see you right back here refreshed and ready to go for the final week in the month of March. See you on Monday. Take care.